Bitch Please.
Hi guys, welcome to Bitch Please, episode 14.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jillian. And thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So I feel like we should start from last episode. Last episode, when I was re-listening to it, I was like, holy shit, I sound manic. I was like worried for myself. But I don't even know if I told you this, Jillian. I think I did. I told you that I basically found out I have this gene mutation called MTHFR gene mutation. And it basically means I can't break down folic acid and B12, I believe. And so I found that out and I've been taking the supplement methylfolate. And as a result, my mood has shifted and become significantly better. And so I think that plus the high dose of antidepressants I was already on has just been making me like a little extra manic because it's just like more than I need. And so I think this gene mutation is 30% of people have it. And so I think it's important because like it's made a huge difference since I started taking this supplement and I had no idea that was even a thing before. So I feel like
I have a question. How did you know you had it? Did you take a blood test to test if you like?
So I was at my psychiatrist's office and I was raising that, you know, dosage up. And he suggested I take a test that it was just like a cheek swab. It was like a saliva swab. And the purpose of it was to test how quickly my liver breaks down certain medications. Because if your liver breaks down certain medications really quickly, you need a higher dose. And part of this gene test for that was about the way my body breaks down or converts folic acid into methylfolate. And mine does not do that. So I found out I have this gene mutation and it's been really easy. I just have to take methylfolate, which is basically your body converts folic acid into methylfolate in order for your body to be able to use it. And so my body can't break it down. So I've just been taking methylfolate directly and it's made a really big difference.
I bought it because Hannah told me to. I actually, when I went to some doctor a while ago, he mentioned just doing it, but no one actually tested me to see like how I break down B12 or folic acid. I just always tested my levels to see how they were and they've always been good. So I guess that's an indicator that I do break down these things.
But I don't know. I've gotten blood tests before. No one's ever said anything to me about low folic acid, having a vitamin deficiency, being anemic. No one's ever said anything like that to me before. So I don't know. But it's genetic. So like I found out my cousin has it and I since told her to start taking this methylfolate. So yeah, that's been a pretty big, and now I'm like, my mood is like shifting and I'm becoming like less depressed and I'm like, who am I now? I like, don't know how to.
You'll figure it out. I mean, it's better to not have to define yourself by being depressed because being depressed in actuality, in reality sucks. It just happens to make you funnier most of the time. And that's the that's the honest truth.
Yeah.
I mean, when I've felt more sad, I'm typically less productive, but when I am productive, I'm funnier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I've just been in this, like, really, like, confident, like, borderline manic place. And now I'm about to, like, go and start a new project, a new script, and obviously you can't write from a place of confidence. That's not funny or compelling. So yesterday I, like, spent the day, like, in bed, like, essentially just trying to get back to, like, my miserable, you know, ground zero, and mission accomplished. And so today it's like nice. You gotta get back to that like I'm worthless place in order to create anything of value. Personal opinion, but anyway, how was your week?
I had a fun weekend. I'm gonna talk about that because, so for the first time I was invited on a press trip.
Press?
A press trip because I'm a journalist part-time. So this, you know, press company, I guess, found me and it had to do with the Catskills. So they invited me to this hotel called the Eastwind upstate. So they provided transportation And like they made us this incredible dinner and like everything was free, drinks. We went hiking.
You say we, who are you with?
Oh, sorry. I brought my friend Alana.
Come on.
And we did this survival course. And at first I was very excited to do it because even though I grew up upstate, I have no idea like how to build a fire really or anything. Like I just always let people do it and I kind of watched. And all of those things are really hard. There was a survival guide named Jeff and he was super outdoorsy, like very, very just like, I hiked the Appalachian Trail, but he actually did and it was impressive. Then there were some characters on the trip. It was one of those things where it felt like in a movie when you see those retreat, those couples retreat movies, except it wasn't a couples retreat. It was just all these random personalities thrown in a hotel for a weekend.
What was the purpose of it?
So that the hotel could get press. So everyone was from, there was someone from New York Mag. There was someone, I'm writing for Hudson Valley Magazine. There was someone from Black Book. There was someone from Vogue. It was like a mixture. An interesting thing that I want to talk about with you was that, so I met this woman who I have like a complete girl crush on, and she's 41, so pretty. She brought her boyfriend because she doesn't believe in marriage. His name was Sam, and he was just very quiet, and he almost seemed like he meditated a lot, but they were a really cute couple because she was really talkative and social.
How old was he?
Around the same age.
Okay, age appropriate. Great.
Yeah, and they were just really cute, but listen to this. So she, I guess, is like has been writing for New York Mag for a while, and she's very open about her life, so I don't feel weird talking about it. She said that she had dated like a bunch of different dudes over time who are all like just emotionally volatile and fucked up. And she had this bad breakup with some guy who she like went to Rome to live with. And she came back and she was like 38 or something, 39. And she told her parents that she was going to have the baby by herself. And she was like, I don't want to be with any guys. I clearly have bad taste. I'm not finding anyone who's like wants to just settle down, whatever, whatever. So she ends up getting a sperm donor of this Venezuelan guy. She said she wanted someone Venezuelan because they're like, attractive, I suppose. And she was like, I'm already smart. I just wanted someone who is hot. And I was like, fair. anyhow, so she has this baby. And then she said she was breastfeeding one day and she was on Tinder.
I love the image of someone breastfeeding and on Tinder.
Right? I cracked up. I was like, this is too good. And then she found that, surprisingly, like, more men were interested in being with her than she would have thought based upon, like, being a single mother to an infant. And she was surprised by that. And then she found this guy who was into her, into the whole thing, and became her daughter's dad, basically. And now she's pregnant with his baby.
Was this her boyfriend she was with?
Yeah, this guy Sam like became the father to her unfathered child, and now this woman is pregnant with this guy's baby too, and they're like a little family, but like it's like so unconventional but works, and I just thought it was fascinating.
That's so cute. So I I'm kind of convinced that I'm gonna like end up alone in some capacity, and so lately I've been doing this thing where I've been asking a couple of my guy friends who I think are attractive and intelligent if I'm like in my late 30s and still single, like if I could have some of their sperm to make a child on my own. What just happened with what you just said is like my biggest fear is that like I'm gonna have a random child, right? Where it's just like me and this kid, which I'm into, but then I'm gonna meet someone and then we're gonna wanna have kids together. And then I'm gonna be like, oh, I should have just held off a little longer. Does that make sense? It's like, I'm fine having a kid on my own if it's like going to be me and them against the world. But
yeah, but it's like you'd still be happy nonetheless because you'd still have this kid and then you'd find someone else and then you'd have another baby. It's like it would be like, wow, isn't it ironic? You know, but it would still be like a happy event in your life. It wouldn't be just because you had this baby before that you can't have a baby again with someone who you actually found.
No, of course. I guess it's just me thinking ahead. It's like, or in that moment when you decide to do that, it's like, if I just waited another year or two, would I meet someone that I'd want to have a child with?
I understand. I totally get that.
I was just listening to the Howard Stern interview with Andy Cohen, and obviously that's different because even if he met someone, he wouldn't be able to procreate with that person.
Who? Howard?
No, Andy Cohen.
Oh, yeah, because he's gay.
Right, because he's gay. But it's like, how do you know when to pull the trigger of...
Like, is this going to be my life? Am I, like, not going to find someone...
Like, Mindy Kaling had a baby on her own. And it's like, there's something empowering about it, but there's something sad about it.
Definitely. I don't know. I mean, I think we have a bunch of years to figure that out, but... It sometimes feels like we don't only because people around us... My sister said something to me the other day. She was like, it seems like your generation is getting married like way earlier than mine did. Because my sisters are in their mid-30s, and that's when they got married, basically. Like, and some one of them is in her late 30s. But it's interesting. I mean, I know a handful of single people and a handful of married people. It's just... It's very 50-50, it feels. Like, and it's usually not like that at our age, which is, you know, 28 and 29.
I don't have many single girlfriends, whereas I feel like lately, at least in LA here, like, it used to be like, oh, there's no good guys. And that now it's like, I have a handful of guys that I would love to set up with someone. Like, I don't want to go out with them, but I would set someone up with them, and I don't have anyone to set them up with. I don't know any single girls.
Is there anyone I would like, you think?
Well, they're in LA.
I know, but I'm obviously not moving to LA for a random guy. I'm just wondering, are any of them... Would I like any of them?
No. Okay. A lot of the guys, most of the guys that I know are very, like, basic kind of guys. Like, they need a very basic girl.
Yeah, that's me.
So I'm not their gal either, but.
I am, like, seeing this WASP, which is interesting because I never, in college, and because I had some WASPy friends in college, I've never had... I'm going to take that back. I've had WASPy guys be attracted to me, but I've never been attracted to a WASPy guy. But he is really hot but couldn't be more different than me. So I really, you know, don't see it going that far, even though whatever. But it's just an interesting dynamic considering I'm so Jewish.
Right.
So, but it's basically just based on looks for the most part. And that's okay with me right now until I find someone who I think is... the full package.
Until he listens to this and is like, oh, okay.
He actually does listen. So I'm just hoping he doesn't listen to this one because he's not on Instagram. So how would he know, really? Unless he's subscribed, then I'm fucked.
Right. I mean, listen, most guys, all I really care about is if you think they're hot. So women are like, we want to be respected. We want you to like our personality, our intellect. Whereas men are like, oh, you want to have sex with me? Okay.
Yeah,
that's all
I
they care about.
That's a rare feeling for me to want to sleep with someone. So I'm like, ooh, wow. Okay, I can still do this.
Yeah, I think that's good for you.
Yeah.
Lately, I'm in this place where, like, if I passed someone on the street that was just perfect, or if I got introduced to someone who's perfect, I would go out on a date with them. But anything past that, I'm really not interested right now. I'm just not trying to date. And people seem to, like, not understand it. Like, they almost have, like, a problem with it.
You mean, like people that you meet, that you befriend, who are interested in you, but you're like, I'm not that into you kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even just, like, on dating apps. Like, I go on dating apps because, like, I'm lonely and bored, and I find the idea of having a conversation with a random person funny. Like, I can ask really bold questions and just kind of, like, learn about... people, I don't know, I find that fun, but I'm not really looking to... The idea of first dates, I just hate them. I really do. The idea of sitting across from someone and basically having, like, an interview, I just have no interest in it. I'd rather sit home watching a TV show than do that.
Wait, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say that same statement if you were 37 and single?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is, like, I don't know.
It's interesting.
What, saying I just don't want to be dating?
Saying you don't want to be dating is fine because you're working on your life and all of those things. But I mean, we're still at an age where, okay, it's okay to be quote unquote single. But when you're 37 and you have friends who have two kids already and you're sitting at home bored, you might go on that date instead of sit home by yourself.
100%. I'm not saying this is how I'm going to be for my whole life. I'm just saying okay. I'm in a place right now.
Right.
Where, I guess, yeah. I just have, like, high standards right now. Like, I have no interest in going out just because, like, you might hit it off. Like, that's just, I don't know. I'm just over it. But yeah, I mean, 28 to 38, that's, I have a decade to worry about it. I feel like a lot of the time I do feel like I'm racing the clock in terms of like my biological clock and like meeting someone, but we have some time.
We have some time. That's what I realized when I met this girl this weekend. I mean, if she's 39 and her life seems like it's going great, but it was going shitty for a while in certain ways, like we have more time than we think. It's just hard when you compare yourself to other people, which is part of this generation and social media and all of those things. But what else? Oh, I'm in an improv class. And I just wanted to say, like, I mean, my parents aren't listening to this, thank God. But, like, if they would have put me in this as a child, I would have saved them, like, $30,000 in therapy fees, honestly. Because it helps you get out of your shell in a way and be less self-critical. And because you're just being dumb and weird and vulnerable in ways that I've never, I don't know, really been, I guess.
And you're in an environment where everyone else is being the same way, too, so.
Yeah, like, there's one girl in our class who's really weird, Hannah. She, everyone thought she was on coke one day. She was not paying attention to the exercises. She was just, like, trying to talk to the teacher on the side. And it was the most bizarre experience ever. But everyone's pretty cool. And at first I thought I hated it. And then I have some fun sometimes. I just never thought I would be in an improv person, just because I'm such a, I hate the thought of the team mentality and the group, the group mentality. But it's cool. It's like one of those things I'm pushing myself to do, and I'm like, okay, this is good. And then world news.
It's, are we talking about Alabama?
Yeah, that's all I could think about, really.
It's been really affecting me. And I was talking to a guy, a friend, and he was, like, trying to make me feel better about it and, like, helping me find the silver lining. And I was just like, you need to stop talking to me right now because this is not going to end well for you. Like, I'm not looking for a silver lining. Like, he was basically saying it doesn't affect you. And I'm like, this isn't about me personally. This is about women being treated as second-class citizens. Like, this isn't about if I got pregnant personally, what I would do about it. Like, that's not what this is about.
Don't worry, you could still get an abortion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be okay.
Like, that's
yeah.
not what I'm upset about right now.
Someone recently brought up this point to me, which I thought that this was because these Catholic men, besides wanting to rule women's bodies, don't want women to have sex with men if they're not procreating and making a child, right? A child of God. But someone mentioned that it's also about racism and how this Alabama is like largely black and there are a lot of poor African-American people there. And it's like a white versus black kind of colonialist thing where to like keep the downtrodden. And it was, the way he explained it was way better than I am right now, but I didn't think about that, because I'm white, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's about keeping women down, and women of color even more so, but, you know, every single person who voted for it was a white man.
Their faces are disgusting. It's the first thing I did when the first article came out. I was Googling, who are these people? Like, what do they look like? Like, and they all just look like they eat Popeyes for breakfast and, like, jerk off to little children. I don't know what else to say about these men. I hate them. I really hate them.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
I just wonder, I mean, being a woman in Alabama, like, we know none of them.
But do you know marrying your cousin is legal in Alabama?
No way.
Yeah, it is. It's legal. A friend looked it up. Abortion's not legal, but marrying your cousin is. So there you go. Alabama.
Wow. Alabama's where like all like the freaks of society can live and be lawless, I guess.
Like other states are looking into this too now. And it's just, it's like, because women are gaining a voice, they're, you know, doing what they can to hold us down. Meanwhile, the children at the border who are being put in cages, their lives don't matter. You know, those aren't children of God or whatever these people say. It's just when you're literally not even a fetus in a womb, you're suddenly... My view on abortion is, granted, I'm not a doctor, but if it can't live outside the mother's womb on its own, then it's not a child. Then it is my personal property and I can do what the fuck I want with it.
I completely agree.
Like, don't get me wrong. If it's born early, I want the hospital to, you know, help it be able to get to a place of it surviving on its own. But that's my personal fucking choice.
I know.
6 weeks. Most people don't even know they're fucking pregnant until after 6 weeks.
It's truly insane.
Also, it's like doctors can go to jail for like an insane amount of time for doing this. But it's like the men who fucking impregnate you. It's like we didn't get pregnant on our own. We didn't. And the men who are equally, you know, to blame for the pregnancy suddenly are at no fault. Nope, nothing's being put on them. And that's what really bothers me.
It's disgusting. On a similar note, but just, he's basically the instigator of all this. But my sister sent me this quote from Donald Trump. I guess it was from the 90s. And he said, if I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country. They believe anything on Fox News. I could lie and they'd still eat it up. I bet my numbers would be terrific. And... alas.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the thing about Donald Trump is he's a moron and incompetent, but he's not necessarily as stupid as...
Oh, hell no.
But that's why it's even more dangerous.
I know. I don't want to keep talking to politics.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. All right, so let's switch topics. I haven't started Fleabag yet. Did you end up watching Dead to Me? TV talk.
I finished Dead to Me. Did you finish it?
Yeah, I'm obsessed
with
it.
Once you finish it, in the beginning, I was like, I don't know. I wasn't loving it. Once I got to the ending, I was like, yes, I love this show. Like, I love where it's heading.
I loved how it was so character driven. And I feel like the plot was equally as good as the characters, but I was upset. I just thought they showed such like complicated characters in such an incredible way.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's rare that we see, you know, female characters with an inner life like that.
It was really intense, I thought. And I love Christina Applegate. I love them both. I thought they were just incredible. And as far as the better things, no. I want to watch it because I like Pamela.
Oh, you have to. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I love it. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And then I watched Fleabag. It's just a work of art. It is perfect. It is so perfect that I was watching it yesterday while I was trying to get back into my like depressive state of mind. And I'm just like, part of me is just grateful that it exists because I think it's opened my world in a way that I never thought possible. But I was also like, wow, I'm never going to create something this amazing. And that was sad. But yeah, no, it's so perfect.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to starting that. I might start it tonight. But I'm kind of jealous of Phoebe, whatever, Waller-Bridge, only because she's so funny and so smart. I watched her Vogue 72 questions. And
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, it's not all that informative, but it's just her personality on the cuff, like, because they just ask you questions so quickly. That it was a cool way to view her mind.
I wish there was another season of this, though. Like, Killing Eve's great, but I could take 10 seasons of Fleabag. This is the last season, though.
I know, but I like that she's ending it on a high note, right? She's like, I don't know what it ended like, so I can't really say. But usually shows get kind of shitty after 3 seasons.
I think she's only ending it now is because, like, she wrote Fleabag. She started doing Fleabag years before it went on Amazon. And so I just think she feels like she's just so far away from who this character is now.
Mm. Are you coming to New York at all this summer?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure it out. I want to come for like a month. I just feel like I haven't been in so long that I'm like forgetting who I am. But it's just tough because I just hate sleeping on couches and doing that whole thing. Like, I really hate that. But yeah, I think I'm coming in August.
Okay. I'm
trying to think. Yeah, I don't have anything else in my life worth talking about right now.
Okay, so we'll just wrap it up then.
Guess.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in, you guys. We will see you in 2 weeks.
See you then.
Bye.